I want to complete the passage here. I left you kind of hanging. We just ran out of time last week. John 15, look at verse 1. I am the true vine. And stand with me if you would. Let's pay honor to God and His Word. Stand with me. John chapter 15, if you're willing and able. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that may bring forth more fruit. He speaks there about what is good and healthy. Things that don't belong, He takes away. Verse 3, now you're clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. We used to, the old timer said, you come to church and get your toes stepped on. I don't know that means anything anymore. Verse 3 says, you come, this is what the Word does. It takes away things that are harmful and things that are not helpful to you. That's what the Word of God should do. It should clean you. It should prune you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. We spent a long time on that last week. As a branch can't bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. You will never be what God wants you to be if you're not close to Him. If you don't continue in Him, remain in Him. All these Lone Ranger people out here, all these folks who say, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but I'm not close to Him, or I'm not there, not plugged in. You're an anomaly in Scripture. You're an anomaly. And I think you're an anomaly that really is not true. I think you're just putting on a little better than what's really reality. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, same brings forth much fruit, for without me you could do nothing. There is no such animal as someone who says they're a follower of Christ and there is no fruit in their life. There is no inward change, there's no external change, and there's no desire to see people come to Christ. That is not a biblical Christian. I don't care what you call it. You may praise, you may worship, you may say all these kind of things. God says, if you're close to me, you bear fruit. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, withered, men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Here he's talking about things that don't belong. In verse 2, he's talking about being more fruitful. In verse 6, he talks about judgment. There are folks who say, I'm part of this, but they're not part of it. And God says, your end is destruction. Let me help you. The best friend you've got is the one who tells you the truth. Hopefully they tell it to you nicely. But the best friend you got is the one who tells you the truth. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words in you, you ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. As you so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Pray with me right now. Let's talk about discipleship. Let me finish our message. Let me complete, rather, the passage. And I want to help you and I want to challenge you today. Pray with me. Father, speak to every heart. May you speak well, enunciate clearly. Help us, Lord, as we're doing things here, as we're working on the campus, and so many have done so much for so long, as we're trying to add to our stage and continue to add to things as we work so hard. Thank you for what you've done in our junior church, and Lord, some of the renovations we're going to do in the back and the nursery, and thank you for this. Thank you for the generosity of your people, the hard work of your people, the ones who labor behind the scenes so often. Thank you for them. Thank you for this privilege now. Help us to focus on the Word. Help us to focus on the Savior. Help us to understand and apply. Lord, I need you this morning. Speak to every heart. Thank you for working in my life about this subject. I pray it all in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Joke at my house right now is, how are we going to feed the boy? How are we going to feed the boy? What do you mean? What do you mean? We have a teenager at home. I mean, nod your head if you empathize immediately with that. A teenager at home. My wife, she and her sister, she didn't ever understand someone who was constantly hungry. Constantly hungry. We'll feed the boy, and he'll go, and then he'll clear the dishes and do what he's supposed to, and he'll walk back in the room with a bowl of cereal. Anybody have that experience? You feed them, and by the time they get done cleaning the dishes, they're hungry again. Anybody with me here? And some of you have asked what you can do for me for my birthday. I'd like you to give me a cow. And a milk cow. I'll just keep him in the backyard. He can stay at Joji's and Tommy's and our neighbors there, and we can do that because it's just insane. You say, why do you shop at Aldi's? It's the only place we can afford. Amen. And I went in the dollar store the other day, and I was so surprised everything was a dollar. I was a little Twitter pated, to be honest with you. And we're used to that. We understand that growing things eat and that living things grow. Nod your head if you're with me here, and I'm just kind of teasing a little bit. Living things grow. Years and years ago, we were at Epcot. How many of you, if I say Epcot, you know what I'm talking about? A place there at Disney World in Florida. And, And we were at Epcot years ago. My mom's family all live on the Atlantic side of Florida there, and so they were, two of my mom's sisters were school teachers. They usually had year passes, and we would go. I tell people I've been to Disney 20, 23 times, something like that. People look at me, and A, I didn't pay for it every time I went. B, it didn't cost a whole lot because Florida residents and teachers, they got in for just real dirt cheap, and we'd go down there as kids, and we went down there right after Epcot opened. It was supposed to open on my birthday, but it opened a few weeks later. We were there that year, and I didn't know what to make of it. I like going to Disney World because there's rides, right? How many of you are with me? And a Space Mountain, you know, and the things, you know, make you throw up and all that. But we went to Epcot, and we were there in the Craft World of Tomorrow. And it looked like a ride. It was not a ride. It was a boat that took you through a bunch of science. How many of you think a 15-year-old's crazy interested in a bunch of science? Anyway. But I never forget, we were there, and there was a lot of other older people there. My brother and I were very upset because we had been hoodooed. We thought we were going on a ride. We were going on a science lesson. And so we're riding through there, and all of a sudden, I see these giant vegetables growing, hanging off wires. I'm not real smart, but I'm thinking, the vegetables go in the dirt. How many of you got that much figured out about agriculture? And there's all these giant cucumbers and leeks, and there's even some melons and stuff. And I'm thinking, this is just weird. And the guy's sitting there, and he says, these are hydroponics. And I went, and he said, we're growing them without soil. Okay. He says, because you get the nutrients from the soil, but we're doing that. Older guy behind me says, how do they get the nutrients? Oh, we feed them. We are the ones who squirt them in there. We've got this. We've got these systems. Basically, it was about a $12 cucumber. Nod your head if you understand that kind of science right now. And he says, but we're going to be able to do this. We'll be able to do this. We'll be able to just hang them up and they grow like this. And we've got all these things. And basically, they were using needles and all this kind of stuff in order to feed them because living things need food and they need nutrients to grow. Nod your head if you're still with me. If they get it out of the soil, that's fine. Or if you got it hooked to a wire, that's fine. And you can grow some weird-looking things, and you can do that. But the rules are still apply. You have to be in something. You have to be plugged into something. You have to get your nutrients out of something. Let me help you here. He uses a metaphor I gave you last week, whether it's a water hose, whether it's an extension cord, whatever it is, you need to be plugged in. There is nothing there. And I said and suggested to you that you need several things. Let me offer them to you. And I want to finish up the passage today. And if you'll give me my notes there, guys, here you go. I think I've got them. Number one, I want you to understand, he gives biblical discipleship involves two things here. One is that you're being delivered from sin, and two, that you're being transformed. Your life should be different. Your life should be different. See, what's different in your church and churches around here? I don't know all the differences, but I can give you at least one of them. I believe to you that when you've been delivered from your sins, you start acting more like Jesus. And there is a difference in your heart and in your life. Now you can say, I'm interested in Jesus and I'm curious about Jesus. That's fine. But if you're a Christ follower, Christ has done something in you and is doing something in you. There is forgiveness that has happened and there's a life transformation that's taking place. It may be slow. Anybody here besides me, you are a slow grower? And then I grew straight out horizontally, amen. Slow growth. You may be growing slow, but there's some growth that's there. There's some hatred for sin that's there. There's some maturity that's coming in. He says, abide in me. That word there simply means to remain. It means to continue, to keep on going. This is what God has called us to do, this continued relationship with him. I gave you some ideas here. I want to offer them to you, and I want to give you the rest of the passage. He says, first of all, you ought to continue in God's word. Continue in God's word. I'm amazed and astounded. I had three conversations this week with people who say, basically want to argue with me and suggest to me that I don't have to be in the Word of God, I don't have to be around a church and all these kind of things, and I can still be everything I ought to be for God. Let me help you here. What they're saying is I'm a hydroponic. What they're saying is I can grow without what everybody else needs to grow. Let me remind you. They were growing on wires, and they were growing suspended in the air, but they were hooked into nutrients. They were just getting them a little differently. You may be upside down growing. You may be right side up growing. You may be growing, but you got to have the same thing that everybody else has got to have to grow. You got to have the same thing. You can have a tomato out of a garden, or a mater where I'm from, grew up. You can have it out of a garden, or you can have it out of a hothouse. But it's growing the same way. One's accelerated, one take a little more time, amen. If you plant a bunch of cantaloupes besides a bunch of tomatoes, your tomatoes are going to taste differently. They're going to may look a little differently, but they're going to grow the same way. Everybody with me here? You say, I'm the exception to the rule. No, you're not. If you want to be a disciple of His, you're going to be in the Word of God. If you're only in the Word 1 hour a week, then you're a mighty weak Christian. I want to suggest to you, you're spiritually malnourished, and you're open to all kinds of things. You're open to all kinds of things. I used to joke about this. I don't like to cook. You think big as I am, I'd like to cook. I don't like to cook. Anybody here not like to cook? I'll do dishes all day. Nobody tell my wife that. Oh, she's in here. Never mind. But I don't like to cook. I don't like to cook. My mom, every time she sees my wife, says, Rodney likes to cook. You like to cook. And I go, I don't like to cook. He's a good cook. My wife doesn't believe her. I've spent 21 years trying to disavow that notion. I don't mind grilling. Something manly about grilling, right? You know, burning stuff, you know. If you don't like it, you just fling it at the dog. You know, I don't like grilling. That's not too bad. Is grilling cooking? Don't tell me that. If it is, I have to stop. And I don't mind baking. There's something scientific about that, you know, and you get done and then you got to test it. I like that. I like testing things because test calories don't count, amen? And so I like that. But anyway, the nutrition there. Nutrition. When you're doing all this kind of stuff, and you're doing all these kind of things, you say to me, I don't have to do this, and I don't have to do that, because I don't like to cook. If I'm hungry and there's nobody around, I will just about eat anything that's in the pantry. Nod your head if you're with me there. I eat stuff I'm not real sure what it is. If I think I can, you know, I've eaten cereal without milk. I'm not real proud. I've eaten cereal with buttermilk before. We got jammed up some time back, and when Riley was small and needed to make some macaroni and cheese and figured out I didn't have any milk, and I made it with French vanilla creamer and served it to him. That's not the whole story, but it's enough. And when you get desperate, you just eat about anything. You ever gave a teenager a bag of chips and then they were gone? You know, they go, well, that was pretty good. You know, it's like $4, you know. Or, you know, you cut a brownie or two, and you give them a brownie, and then they take the rest of the pan. You know, if you're not eating well, you just eat about anything. When you're not remaining in the Word, when you're not continuing in the Word, then you're not doing what you're supposed to. Look at the verses. If you abide me in my words in you, verse 7, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, the word, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, verse 12. This is my commandment that you love one another. Greater love hath no man than this, verse 13. A man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants. Why? Because I've told you what I want to do, verse 17. These things I command you, you love one another. How can I remain in God's word? I mentioned to you last week, I think parents ought to do this. I think simply they ought to do it. I think the church is one avenue for that. Some of you today, we've got some handouts for you, and it's called the Home Connection. I want to offer you the Home Connection. What do you mean there? The Home Connection is a way you can know what your kids are getting in the service, in the Sunday school and all. And you can talk about this with them. I want to help you. We want to help you with that. Nobody is born good at this. Nobody's born knowing some of these things. We want to help you. I think you need a daily devotional time. Daily devotional time. Mike, I didn't ask your permission. I think you'll be all right with this. Whenever I counsel somebody who's going to be married, If I have any input in their life, I tell them, you know, they ought to read the Bible. They ought to talk to each other. It's a great habit. If they're reading it individually, but I'm saying they ought to connect a little bit with that. That is a great joy. And it's weird at first sometimes. That's a great joy. And technology has made it a little simple. You can zap a verse to each other. You can share some things. If you're on a different shift or whatever, you can do that. Hey, this was meaningful. This meaningful to me. Chuck and Jessica, they told them, you know, man, if I'm marrying you, this is what you got to do. And they said, you know, it was funny. You know, the first 4 or 5 days, it was awful. And now it's really neat. It's really neat. I said, don't use it as a sledgehammer. Don't beat each other with it. But it's neat. It's neat. When you're in the Word, when you want to share that, and I have to be real careful because I read stuff and I think it's really good, and I don't think anybody else cares. And I want to share, then I'm like, you know, nobody, that overflow that's there. Some of you, that's the best thing you do on Sunday night. you come here in the Bible study, and it has just been on fire all week in your Bible study, and you're here, and you just can't wait because you figure everybody else is just as jazzed up as you are about it, and it's just awesome, and it's overwhelming. Samantha's there, and she's had her surgery, and she's reading her devotional, and she's just... it's just wide open about what God wanted to do. There's something is there. Some of you, the reason you are spiritually pygmies is you've never decided, I'm going to take God's word in daily. And you're missing it. Got to remain in the word. Got to remain in the word. You got to let God do things for you and do things with you. You got to be pruned. You got to be purged. So what do you mean there? Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. You are clean through God's word. You're clean through God's word. Let me help you. Can I help you? You still with me? Say amen. Say amen. You good? You good? Everybody hearing okay? You listening okay? It's a weird time of the year. I know some of you are hot, some of you are cold. It's just the weather we're living in. It's fall. It's okay. Soon it'll be cold and everybody will be freezing. You would be happy then, won't you? Yeah, all right. All of you back there complaining. That's fine. That's fine. We've got steps here. We've got an altar bench here. Here's what we normally do. Really bad, really hopeful, really whatever life. And okay, that's what I need to talk to a pastor or whatever. That's not the case. It's just not the case. That's an occasion. Lord, help me hold on to things loosely. You don't have to rip them out of my hand. Lord, when you tell me something's bad for me, help me to believe you. Help me believe you. Because you love me a whole lot more. And you know a whole lot more what's better for me. And it's okay. Preacher preaches the Bible, convicts your heart, whatever's going on. You're like, man, that's a sin. And I'm just grabbed hold on it. And God says, no, that's just killing you. It's awful for you. Let him do that. Number 3, continue in prayer. Pray. Continue in prayer. God's word in you, you in God's word, you asking God to do what he wants to do, this is new for you. You asking God, when you do this, God said he would answer your prayers. You will ask what you will. And again, don't miss that. Don't take it out of context. Guys on TV with a big hair, and I know I got big hair. How many of you think the preacher needs a haircut? The preacher needs a haircut. Don't raise your hand. And I'll get a haircut this week. I was supposed to get one yesterday. I forgot it. And I'll get a haircut. You know, people on TV with big hair, and they're going, God wants to bless you. How many of you, anybody says God, they got 3 syllables. How many of you get nervous whenever they do that? And they want to do this, and God wants to bless you. And whoever thought of this, whoever thought of selling handkerchiefs, that's just, man, that's something. And, you know, a holy hanky, because it's, you know, I don't know what that means. But anyway, and they got all this silly stuff out there, and they're trying to sell you hope, and they don't need to sell you hope. God has offered you hope because his son died and rose again. And nobody got to sell you anything, amen. But they're trying to do this and saying, you know, this and that. No. There's no divorcement here on this promise. Does everybody follow me for a second? You remain in his word, you remain in his will, and God is growing you, then it's not that I'm praying and God's over here coming to where I'm at. When I get really close to him, then I get where he is. How many of you think God wants everybody to confess their sins and trust him as Lord and Savior? How many of you think, man, when I get there, man, I'm praying just what God wants. Everybody with me here? Here's what we do. God, I'm over here, and I want you to bless me in my sin. I want you to bless me in my laziness. I want you to bless me in all these kind of things. And God said, nope, that'll kill you. And you start getting in the word, and you start letting God prune some things. You start confessing sin. You start admitting that you're struggling in some areas, and you're just getting closer and closer and closer to him. And all of a sudden, what? Man, I'm right where he is. I'm right where he is. It's like a child and a parent. Dad, can I get a chainsaw so I can learn how to juggle? Nah. Dad, can I get some tools to help you work in the yard, take some load off of you? Sure, we can work on that. Every difference in the world, right? One's going to hurt you. One's right in line with what the Father's got the plans for. Say, I want to pray differently. Let me suggest to you, one of the best things you do in your prayer time is to get in the Word, get in the Word. He says to bear fruit. He says to bear fruit. Look at verse 2. You got your Bibles, your tablets open there. Look at verse number 2. It says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. It may bring forth more fruit. Verse number 8, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Let me encourage you. God's plan for your life is that you be a fruit-bearing Christian. Let me offer you three of them. One, there's internal fruit. We call that the fruit of the Spirit. You ought to be kinder. You ought to be more faithful. You ought to be more loving. You ought to be more joyful. That is what God's Word and God's Spirit is doing in you. That's internal fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. He's making you more like Jesus. Say, I want to be more like Jesus. I'm going to wear a wristband. Wristbands are fine, groovy, cool. Works for me. Hallelujah. You don't need to wear a wristband to have internal fruit. You need to have the Word of God inside of you. You need to be listening to what God's saying. You cannot have life change without the Word. Without listening to the Word, without obeying the Word. Say, I have no Word relationship. You text me, you email me. Let me offer you some things. We use we like the YouVersion app around here. I can get some things for you on your phone. Get you walking there. I can give you a plan. We've got devotional books that's here. It's amazing. And those little things all of a sudden start making great big changes in your life. How many of you just over this year, you've seen what God's Word has done in your heart, in your life? He says he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit extra. He wants you to do the right thing. He wants you to do the right thing. He wants you to act right. Live right. That's fruit. I mean nothing unkind. There's no heart change. And there's no life change. I suggest to you, you've never been part of the vine, never been part of the branch. You don't belong to Jesus. There's fruit. Here's what we've done. We play redefinition game. We say somebody's a good person and they're not really a good person. We say everybody goes to heaven. That's really not true. We say all this kind of stuff and it's not true. And we're just putting Band-Aids on stuff. It's open heart surgery. This is a bear fruit. He says you ought to bear fruit. Bear fruit and seeing other people's lives change. Bill Hall in his great book there, he says, God expects every believer to be a mature, reproducing disciple. You ought to, at some point in your life, be able to turn around and see somebody that you helped get to Jesus. So why we have Community Fun Day? Why we have Family Fun Day? We do it for a couple of reasons. One, you know, because we're still trying to help everybody understand there's a church here. And the signs have done a lot of that, and everybody who takes such good care of the grounds and the campus here, man, has done so much of that, and we're very thankful. The other thing is we're doing a little bit of awareness. We're doing some awareness. But the main thing is we're going to be able to do what? We're going to be able to say, hey, listen, I got a little free gift for you. Hey, are you a good person? Hey, listen, what does the Bible say here? Hey, what about this? Do you have plans tomorrow? We want to do our best to evangelize. To evangelize. Some of you, you're here because you made the connection with us last year. Some of you come every so often because you made that connection with us last year. You found us online. We want to do that. Why? Because we believe that we ought to be reproducing. Say, preacher, what's your main thing? Man, it bugs you. Man, I wish we were running 100, 150 right now. Why? Because there's that many people who come to Christ, that many people who had their lives changed. How many of you think that's a great goal, by the way? And want to see the place filled up. We want to do this. Why? Because that's what God wants for us. God wants for us. Continue to walk in obedience. Look back in chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Even as I've kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's two kinds of things that hold us. One is constraint and the other is restraint. Let me help you. a seatbelt is restraint. There's only so far you can go. Everybody with me here? First roller coaster I ever went on, back in the day, I was a little skinnier than I am now. I'd never been on a roller coaster, didn't know anything about it. And I was there, and they put this bar down. It kind of clicked, and it was a pretty good gap there. By the way, they've closed this roller coaster. I was there not too long ago. The roller coaster doesn't exist anymore. And a kid sat beside me. He was a real string bean. That's what we called him back then. He was real, just real thin kid. And we're going, and when you do certain roller coasters, you start pulling negative G's. Everybody with me here? And you start kind of, and I'm looking, and this kid's about 4 inches off the ground, and he's kind of, he's holding on for all he's got. And I'm thinking, we're fixing to be on the news. This is going to be awesome. Not for him, but, you know, I'll be the guy going, yeah, I saw him fly out. So I'm holding on. I didn't have, there was no lap belt. It was a bar. I mean, that was it. Some of you can't believe there's such a thing ever existed. That's what it was. And so we're there. So I'm holding on like this, and I got my hand over here on him, and he's going, you know, and I'm thinking it's almost done. First roller coaster, I had no idea. That wasn't the only thing. It was zzz, and then we just kept zooping and zooping and zooping. Kids gets off. You know, I don't know. He's ever been on another one. I don't know. He stayed in the park. He wasn't with our group. And he's off in there, and I'm thinking, man, that's bad. Next roller coaster I got on, next ride I got on, it actually had a little seat thing, you know, and a shoulder harness. I didn't feel as bad there. But guess what I did the second ride? I still held on like crazy, man. And this is when I didn't know they took pictures. And I'm that guy going, because I'm scared to death. I'm clutching on. One's restraint. I didn't have any choice. The other was constraint. I grabbed on for all it's worth. Here he says, if you love me, do what I say. You love me, do what I say. I'm holding on. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You ain't got to push me away. You ain't got to threaten me. You ain't got to scare me. Say, well, you're not going to die and go to hell. If your motivation and what you do for Jesus or don't do for Jesus always has to do with, well, it's not going to send you to hell, you got other kind of problems. And I'm sorry, because I know some of you, by a crowd this size, some of you, that's your motivation things. Well, and some of you have been exposed to this church, exposed to things, and that's just your answer for things. That's just not it. Lord, I love you, and I want to please you. I love you, and I want to please you. It says walk in obedience. So you want to be a real disciple? Walk in obedience. Nobody's got to beat you. Nobody's got to do this. See, there's a difference here. There's the idea of accountability. How many of you like accountability? I got 4 minutes. How many of you like accountability? There's wanted and unwanted accountability. Wanted and unwanted accountability. But some of you in here are weight loss people. Weight loss people. You make me all sick. I just, and all these things. And some of you are like me. You look at food. You smell food. You drive by a baker. You gain weight. It's just awful. And those kind of things. I'm teasing. One of the things that people who do this, they like wanted accountability. Hey, how'd you do? Or you know, encouragement. Anybody like that? Yeah, because you're doing good. Some of you are real good about you. You see somebody walking, hey, you look great and all. And Crystal, some of you are, man, you look so great. And Crystal, I know. It's great. You get a good grade. You get a grade. You come home and say, Mom, you need to help me study for the test, and I made a good grade. Or if you're like me, you made a bad grade and you hide it. We want that. There's wanted accountability, right? Help me do this. The whole 12 steps principles of because accountability. There's unwanted accountability. He that sows the wind will reap the whirlwind. R.G. Lee said it like this, great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church over in Memphis, you cannot sin and win. So, preacher, why you visit like you do, why you call like you do, why you encourage leadership to call and visit like they do, why you do, let me help you. While you got a grass fire in the backyard, if we can take the flower pot and put it out, no big deal. If it gets big enough, we need a water hose, still okay. But if we wait till your house is on fire and everybody's in their PJs and nobody answers their phone or listens to the fire alarm, and it's about to kill everybody there before you finally listen to anybody, that's probably a little too far gone, isn't it? I'd rather help you put out the grass fire with the watering can in the backyard. By the way, and that also helps me too. One of the reasons I love our Sunday night groups, connection groups. I got to look at those men. I was in the Word. I was praying. I'd be accountable. You can be accountable or somebody will hold you accountable. He says, walk in obedience. Walk in love. Walk in love. I'm done. Love each other. This is my commandment. To love one another as I've loved you. Best compliment our church ever gets. I felt very loved. I felt like it was a loving group of people. Even if they don't stay, if they don't like the worship, I don't like the preaching, whatever. That's not a byproduct of being in the South. Everybody nod your head with me. That'll be a byproduct that we're close to Jesus. That we're close to Jesus. This background, that background, this social economic structure, this nationality, this whatever your baggage is, you ought to be able to say those people who are with Jesus are a loving group of people. You love one another. Y'all love Doris and pray for her physical difficulties she's had. Pray for Joji as Tommy's been gone 3 weeks now with his job. And pray he gets home soon. And Joji's running the house and all. Many of you do that. You hug their neck. You pray for them. You love on them. Some of you are thrilled for Mike and Melissa and their wedding. Some of you be happy for Chuck and Jessica as they get married this week. You pray for them. Some of you have leaned into them. You've helped them. Some of you asked Sam about his mom this morning. There ought to be something where you love one another. Let me help you. Love is more than saying I love you. Nod your head if you believe that. Love is action. Love is action. If we're strangers walking in and strangers in here and strangers walking out, we're not loving each other. You've got to do it on purpose with your personality, with your own comfort. But to do that, he says to love each other. Love each other. Here's the joy. I love it. This is it. This is it. And I'm done. I threw this at you last. I don't want to elaborate. You experience joy. If you told me 26 years ago, starting ministry, that people would say, I'm going to be a lot happier if I get away from all church people. And that the real thing of happiness is to just be away from everyone and do my own thing. And then people get away from God, they get away from His Word, and they get away from all this, and they're just so miserable, and they don't understand that. No. To remain in Him and to be close together, there's joy. If you had a bad experience and people who know better were ugly to you, I apologize on their behalf and I hate it. People of faith ought to know better and they ought to do better. Some of them who say they know Christ are some of the meanest, nastiest, jerkiest acting people ever. I hate that. I suggest to you they're not close to Christ, by the way. There's joy. Some of you say it differently. Every Sunday you say it differently. Every Wednesday night, this is the highlight of my day. This is the highlight of my week. I can't wait. I have made it here. So glad to be here. I left the Johnsons at 10 o'clock or so Wednesday night and I left. And they both said, and she with tears in her eyes, I wish so much I could be with my church family. I love them. To keep up enough. They're asking all of you that are newer, who's that? What do they look like? You want to talk about pressure? Describe them. They're all very good looking. And they bring me donuts. And there's joy that's there. There's joy. You have answered prayer. By the way, the answer to your prayer may be no. Because it's going to hurt you and kill you. But God hears and answers your prayer. How many of you, God's answered your prayer in a different way and you were a whole lot happier with what He did rather than what you did, what you were asking for. It's amazing. God knows best. God knows best. He says you experience answered prayer. Man, you bring Him glory. You bring him glory. Guy called me this week. He called me to brag on my brother. Brother's a very consistent Christian, loves Jesus. Some of you got to meet him. They were here on vacation last year. He said, your brother, he said, I just want you to know that. I appreciate it. My brother, a couple of degrees. Brother's very smart, very generous. He was just talking about his interaction he saw with a young man. I want you to be proud of him. Let me help you. I'm proud of my younger brother, but I'm more proud that he brought glory and honor to God Almighty. So what should I pray every day? Lord, help me bring you honor and glory. As I lift those boxes, I clean those floors, as I mop these, as I work on these dishes, as I fold these clothes, as I go to work, as I deal with people who seem like they got up this morning trying to make me mad, I'll bring you honor and glory. Then much fruit. Much fruit. Can I walk down here? If I drop dead tomorrow, I want to have much to give my Savior. You can take all the houses and all the lands and all the boats and all the stuff and all the jazz and all the junk. You can take all the CDs and 401Ks and 403Bs. You can take all the 529s. You can take all the coins and the gold. You can take all that. I want to have much to give my Savior. So how do you know you're a disciple? Because you start going, what can I give? What can I do? What can I bring? It's a total reversal. Most of us, most people live life, me, mine, I'd like this, I want this, give me this, that'd be nice, I'll save up. Not that stuff's wrong, I'm not saying. It's a total reversal. What can I give to him? What can I do for him? How can I serve him? How can I serve him? So that's a disciple's heart. That's a disciple's heart. Well, we got those books out there for your young people to take to their see at the polls, because we want to bring much fruit. Well, we got the little, we want to bring much fruit. Well, we having a fun day, because we want to bring much fruit. I want to please you. I want to please you. The day may come here. My name's on a lot more things than it is. I'll fight that. But I'm really interested in his name being on a whole lot of things. I'm more interested in his name getting a whole lot of credit for a whole lot of things. Everybody with me here? Much fruit. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. How we do this? Remain in the Word. Stay close to him. Continue in the faith. Let him cut off and take off, and you put away the things that are hurtful and are harmful, and allow him. And then all of a sudden you start seeing your prayers answered, and you start seeing the changes in your life and the changes in your actions and the changes in how you deal with people. And all of a sudden you go, Lord, I want to do this because I want to please you. Boy, that's good stuff. That's what a disciple looks like. That's what a disciple looks like. Pray with me. Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around.